Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome back to the Thai Expat Daily Show. I'm your host, Kira Maka, as always, and delighted you've been able to tune in with us yet again for another show. Now, before we do get started, don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and hit that notification bell so that YouTube will let you know when the next live stream or show is available online. Now, if you like listening to us on a podcast player, just look down below in the description, and you'll find a link to various degrees of podcast players that the show will be uploaded on. And finally, if you like the show, if you want to support the show, you can do so by buying us a coffee down below in the link that can be found in the description, or you can become a member of the channel, and you can find that link in the description as well. So now that's all done and dusted, let's jump into those top four stories, and we'll jump into the first one, which is a story which won't stop giving: no delay to digital wallet plan. The government insists its 10,000 baht digital wallet scheme will be rolled out in May as planned, and it will gather opinions from all parties involved to ensure a consensus on the matter before launch. Prime Minister Thavasin said on Tuesday the scheme is still on schedule. We stand by the original time frame, he said. He made the remarks after the Council of State sent its opinions on the legality of the government's plan to borrow 500 billion baht to finance the scheme to the finance ministry. Mr. Thavasin said the Council of State has recommended that the government seek opinions from all parties involved, including the National Economic and Social Development Council, experts and members of the government's digital wallet policy committee. The Council of State did not say whether the government's loan bill to fund the handout is legally viable. We have to listen to various opinions, the Prime Minister noted. He said the digital wallet policy committee will hold a meeting to discuss the Council of State's opinion on the borrowing plan. However, he stopped short of saying when the meeting would be held. Now, responding to calls by critics for the government to reveal details of the council opinion, Mr. Saretta said they will be revealed at an appropriate time. He said the government would keep pushing for a bill to seek loans to fund the scheme. Now, Deputy Finance Prime Minister Jula Pawn said the council has only provided legal opinion on the issue and it has no duty to decide whether the government can seek the loans. The government is ready to listen and act in line with the law, Mr. Jula Pawn said. So that is the digital loan policy that has been talked about now for the guts of 7 months, and we have yet to see a single iota of information about it. The reason this story has come out is because the Deputy Finance Minister said that the Council of State had given the go-ahead for the loan, which actually wasn't true. I need to roll back those remarks a day ago. In fact, the Council of State had to come out and actually say that we've not given our approval for this. We've given you the facts about it and the legal standing of you use a bill to get the money. Now, my issue with all of this and the Thai Expat Daily Show opinion on all of this is 500 billion baht could be better spent in this country than handing out a digital wallet for 10,000 baht for about 50 million people. I'm not sure it's going to really help the economy in the way that they feel. And I think it would be better spent in other places like social development, housing, schooling, and just better taking care of the poor of the country. I don't think it's going to have a huge impact, and I can see somehow this turning into some issue where corruption will be involved at the very end. But I would love to know what you think about this and whether or not this digital wallet policy and promise from the government before the election should be continued. I'd love to see those comments down below in the comment section. Well, moving along, and as they say, buckle up, because we've got a story that reads like a thriller, but it's unfortunately far too real. Miss Pavina Hongsakul, the powerhouse behind the Pavina Hongsakul Foundation for Children and Women, recently took a trip to the Royal Thai Police with a fellow Thai woman determined to seek justice against an American man who's been wreaking havoc. Now, get this. This guy, let's call him Mr. Thomas, wasn't content with just breaking hearts. No, he took things to a whole new level. The Thai woman claimed she fell victim to his charm offensive, thinking they were about to embark on a journey of marital bliss. Little did she know, Mr. Thomas has a dark side. A really dark side. Turns out he was secretly filming intimate moments, engaging in violence, robbing her blind, and to add insult to injury, he was peddling those sordid clips to the highest bidder. A real class act, isn't he? But wait, it gets worse. More women have fallen prey to this sinister plot. Now, Miss Pavina, not one to mince words, declared Mr. Thomas a menace to society, especially women. She's genuinely concerned these videos could end up in some shady underground market, and who knows how many more victims are out there terrified to step into the light. Our brave Thai woman met Mr. Thomas, a self-proclaimed off-duty soldier, on a dating app back in December 2023. He painted himself as the perfect catch, eager to build a family. But as the relationship unfolded, so did the nightmare. Videos, physical abuse, the whole grotesque package. Unable to bear the torment any longer, she sought refuge at the Bang Yai police station in Bangkok, filing a complaint against Mr. Thomas's for assault. Lo and behold, it wasn't an isolated incident. Other women, both Thai and foreign, have endured similar hellscapes in different corners of Asia. This American trickster landed in Thailand in April 2023, duping the first victim to a dating app and sustaining a toxic relationship for 4 months. Another victim, lured into marriage, had her gold necklace stolen, her personal clips broadcast at her workplace, and was forced to relocate to Phuket. And it doesn't stop there. Victims from Indonesia and Japan, educated and well-off, all found themselves ensnared in his twisted web. Now, Police General Surachat, the Deputy Chief of the Royal Thai Police, weighed in, noting that Mr. Thomas operates like a seasoned romance scammer, preying on vulnerable women seeking love online. This charlatan crafts false narratives, records intimate moments, and shamelessly sells them on adult websites. Oh, and surprise, surprise, he's got a rap sheet for property offences back in the United States. Now, fast forward to the investigation. Mr. Thomas slipped out of Thailand and hightailed it to Vietnam on January 7th of this year. Seems like he's been playing a frequent flyer game, making pit stops in Thailand since 2022, averaging 3 to 4 visits annually, each about 15 days long. Now, the heat's on him, with an arrest warrant in the pipeline and Interpol in the mix. Police General Surachat isn't mincing words either. He's advising Thai women to do some detective work before diving into a relationship forged in the digital realm. It's a cautionary tale that reminds us all, love might be a battlefield, but we don't have to surrender to the dark forces lurking in the shadows. Stay vigilant out there, folks. Please do stay vigilant. And I think that's something that does need to be spoken about. In the digital age now, we see a lot of these apps such as Tinder and Badoo and a host of other ones where they prey on the idea that it's looks that you're swiping at. So you see something you like, you swipe, you hit it, and you move on. Maybe you get a connection, but who do we really know that's on the other side of that app? Is it a real person? Is it someone fake? People can say a lot of things and they can, you know, in essence, kind of portray to be a certain person. But at the end of the day, I think the moral of this story is never jump into anything too quick. And if something seems too good to be true, well, perhaps it just is. Now, moving along to another story that seems to have hit the headlines here in Phuket, and a little bit for the wrong reasons. Police urged to expedite action against a drunk driver. People whose motorbikes were struck by a drunk driver before the new year are calling for a police to expedite action against the driver so they can have their motorbike fixed and go about their lives. The incident occurred in front of the Super Cheap in Bandon Move 4 in Tep Krasachi Road at 3:18 on December 28th. A pickup truck driven by Damrong Bung Pong 48 crashed into several motorbikes, damaging a total of 9 vehicles. Now, luckily, no people were injured in the incident. Police soon arrived at the scene. Damrong tested positive for alcohol, recording 259 mg/dl. On a breathalyzer, he was charged with drunk driving and causing damage to private property. Now, Wanapachan Kunun, 25, explained that he had parked his motorbike in front of the store to buy some curry. A couple of minutes later, he heard a loud crash outside the store. He went outside to see the mess of motorbikes and Damrong attempting to flee the scene. But his exit was blocked by motorbikes that he had knocked down. Now, Mr. Wanapachan said that not having his motorbike had cost him 11 days of work and more than 600 baht in transportation fees. Now, Sanida Wachilaham, 33, who stopped at the store to buy beer for his co-workers, also called for police to expedite action as his motorbike being damaged had forced him to pay for a rental motorbike while waiting for the legal process to be resolved. Talang police assured the public that they are taking the matter seriously. The pickup truck's driver's blood alcohol content exceeded the legal limit, has prompted authorities to schedule negotiations with all involved parties to seek a resolution, officer said. As the victim said, that as they wait for justice, they hope that both the company and the car owner will be held accountable for the damage caused by the reckless act of drunk driving. Well, another interesting story. So that is approximately 2 weeks ago and nothing seems to have been done. He was breathalyzed on the scene. He is over the limit. I presume he was brought back to the station and breathalyzed again. So they know he was driving drunk, which would have been naturally a DUI. What I think is most concerning about this is the police say, well, we're working on it and we'll start having negotiations to get things done. Well, firstly, has he been charged and has he appeared in court? It seems like this is being dragged out very slowly while people who try to go about their daily lives are now losing out and suffering. And you would think there would be something done about this. But in these kind of cases, I always get a little bit skeptical when the police start to drag their feet on things that look simple. Could he be related to somebody? Does he know somebody? Is this right? Why this has been dragged out? I can tell you this for a fact. If it was a foreigner who did that, okay, this would be all done and dusted in a space of 3 or 4 days, and you certainly wouldn't be on 2 weeks and still nothing done. They would have negotiated the bikes to be fixed. He would have been charged with a DUI. He would have been in court and he would have probably got a fine, or more than likely just a fine. They don't really get put in jail here for a DUI. So he would have definitely got a fine and penalty points if they actually put them on here. But this just shows you that the law really is not upheld when it comes to crashing, you know, DUIs and stuff like this. So as we spoke in the show last night, let's hope that the government start to think about what they can do to make the roads here in Phuket, you know, safer for everyone. And that would be certainly a start, is to prosecute the people they actually catch when they have been causing damage and drinking while under the influence. And finally, a story which has been doing the rounds all around the world. iPhone survives a 16,000 foot fall from Alaska Airlines flight. An iPhone that plummeted 16,000 feet, that's approximately 5,000 meters from an Alaska Airlines flight, landed without a single crack in the screen and even a battery still half charged. The phone was sucked out of Alaska Airlines flight 1282 on Friday when a fuselage panel blew off, leaving a gaping hole. The passenger plane made an emergency landing shortly after, with all aboard safe. A few items, reportedly including AirPods and a boy's shirt, made more dramatic landings after shooting out of the suddenly depressurized cabin. Amid a search for debris, a man named Sean Bates in the northwestern state of Washington found an iPhone on the side of the road, appearing to belong to one of the passengers. A photo of the device, posted on X, formerly Twitter, on Sunday, showed the intact screen and an email $70 baggage receipt. The battery is shown charged to 44% and the smartphone remains on flight mode. Aside from the port, where the terminal of the charger protrudes after being ripped from the rest of the cord, the phone appears untouched. In a follow-up TikTok post, Bates said he found the phone pretty clean, no scratches on it, sitting under a bush. Bates said he contacted the National Transportation Safety Board, which told him it was the second phone from the flight to have been found. The NTSB chair, Jennifer Homendy, replied to his post on X, thanking him and offering to meet. In a briefing on Sunday, Homendy told reporters that will look through the phone and then return them, adding that it was very, very fortunate that the incident had not ended up in tragedy. In response to the incident, regulatory bodies swiftly grounded some versions of the Boeing 737 MAX 9 jet. Pending inspections, Boeing shares plunged in trading on Monday. And I'm more than shocked that an iPhone could, you know, possibly survive such a fall. I mean, my own has fallen a few times and taken some severe damage, so I'm not sure why or how it managed to fall nearly 5,000 meters from the sky and remain unscathed, but that must have been one hell of a screen protector and case he had on it. But nevertheless, that is it for today. Thanks again for tuning in. As always, your support is always greatly appreciated. Have a great day. Enjoy your time here in Thailand, whether you're a tourist or an expat, and stay safe. Thanks again. Good luck. We'll see you tomorrow. But ultimately, with this story or anything else that stood out to you today, I'd love to know your thoughts in the comments down below. Because yes, this is a news show, but it's also a conversation. Now keep that conversation going. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel, share the video, and do all the good stuff that does help that YouTube algorithm. But ultimately, my name is Kieran Mack. You've been listening to the Thai Expat Daily Show, and we will see you next time.